we are going to look into God's Word. If you want to turn in your Bible with me to Mark chapter 10. The last few weeks have been difficult ones. You're all still here, so I assume you took my challenge and you didn't take sides. You didn't say my side, your side, their side. You took God's side. We want to have God's side. This particular message is one that we will have to be paying a very careful attention. We neither want to go beyond what this scripture is teaching, but we also do not want to miss the heart of this teaching. So, Mark chapter 10, and we'll begin reading in verse 13. And they brought young children to him that he should touch them, and his disciples rebuked those that brought them. But when Jesus saw it, he was much displeased, and said unto them, Suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. Verily I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. And he took them up in his arms and put his hands upon them and blessed them. We have here Jesus interacting with little children. Before we dig into the meat of this message, let's go to God and ask his blessing. Our Heavenly Father, we come to you this morning and we beg for you to work in each heart. Help us, Lord, to truly see what it is that you have for us out of your word. Your word is profitable for doctrine, reproof, instruction, and correction. Father, we ask that you would open our eyes to see where we need to know more or change our direction. Lord, we ask that you would give us the strength to say, this is God's side, I want to be on his side. And Lord, we ask that you would give us the same heart as our precious Savior. Amen. We have in this short event, this short story, again, we want to avoid that story mentality here with Jesus' life. This short event, it's a very short event. We only have a couple of things that are happening. It goes by very quickly. Even in the telling of it here, Mark only gives us, what, four verses? That's not very much. It's not a very long, drawn-out story, and yet I think we see here a picture into the heart of Jesus Christ more than in several chapters in other places. We see more of Jesus' heart. Let us then set the stage. It says, and they brought young children to him. We are not told the names of these children, nor are we told the names of the them, the those who brought the children. I think we can all understand, considering what I'm about to tell us about who these young children might have been, that it was likely their parents or their guardians who were bringing them. It could have been even other children who were bringing them, maybe older brothers and sisters bringing them along. But either way, there are some who are bringing young children to Jesus. The word here translated young children is one of the broad terms. It could include children from the age of 8 days up until the age of 12 years. It's used in those ways in Scripture. So it is the entire range of childhood where you might expect that the child is still needing nurture and care from their parents. You might leave a 15-year-old by themselves for an hour. How much trouble can they get into, right? That's a dangerous question to ask. But you would not leave a 2-year-old for an hour by themselves. Because how much trouble can they get into is more a magnitude of problem. what kind of volcano might they set off? It could be a massive, massive problem. And so these are children that need care and attention from those who are caring for them. They cannot just be left on their own. These young children are being brought. That word brought is held by the hand, or maybe even carried. So when you're bringing these children, they're being brought to Jesus. They couldn't come entirely on their own. Here we have young children. In Luke, in the parallel passage, it uses the word for infant, which is a much more specific word in the Greek, and points it down to the age of babes in arms. But we have here Mark pointing out that it was children and included all of these young kids. They're being brought to Jesus. As they are coming with an intention. And this intention is that Jesus should touch them. Notice we don't have any description of healing needed. No demons needing to be cast out. There is no, they're bringing these kids because they're lame and they're having to carry them. And then Jesus is going to heal them. But instead, they are bringing these kids to Jesus that he should touch them. We find later that Jesus is going to bless them. That's the phrase that is used, that Jesus blessed them. Their intention was to be close to Jesus, to have that personal contact with him. They wanted to rub shoulders with him. That's a more common phrase nowadays. You come close to someone and you are close enough to be face to face, to talk to someone, maybe to greet them with the shake of the hand. You are in personal connection. These children are being brought for the purpose of coming into direct contact with Jesus. We are not told in this passage or in the parallel passages in Mark or Luke that the parents or whoever was bringing had some sort of faith in Jesus or even knew more than that Jesus was a good teacher or maybe a prophet. And they were viewing him then not specifically as the Son of God or something like that, but they were viewing him as possibly someone sent from God and a good person to know. And they wanted their children to meet Jesus. And so they were bringing them. We find the disciples being a roadblock. In the end of verse 13, they rebuked those that brought them. I want you to notice this detail here, because in Matthew, the accusation comes that they were actually withstanding the children to their face. But here we find that they are telling the parents, no, turn away, turn away. We are not given the disciples' reason, but the action itself is the problem in Jesus' mind. They are a roadblock. They are stopping those who are coming to Jesus, and they are becoming the problem. The disciples are rebuking those who are coming to Jesus. I'm sure you're thinking at this point, oh, if I was one of the disciples, I wouldn't have done that. But remember, this is coming straight after they've had these discussions about divorce and remarriage. And in all of the Gospels where it mentions these two events, they happen immediately, one right after the other. They've been dealing with weighty and very difficult topics. And these disciples, they're close to Jesus. And they view their time with him as being very precious. Not only that, but they are about to head out on their journey towards Jerusalem for that final time. They are about to make that trip, and go to Jerusalem for that final Passover. And so on their mind, they're thinking, we've got better things to do. We've got too much important stuff to learn. We have only a short time with our Savior, our Messiah, that promised one from God. We don't want to miss a minute of it. These kids are not important. Jesus then has a response, and we need to see this response for how strong it is. In verse 14, Jesus saw it and was much displeased. This is the only time that this word, much displeased, is used of Jesus in the New Testament. It is a very strong word. It is that disgust and almost hatred that you might see in Jesus' eyes. Probably more like disappointment. But it was a very strong displeased. That's not saying it strongly enough. Jesus is jumping up and down, hopping mad. He is quite upset. Not only is this word indicating to us much displeased, that he was very upset, but then he repeats his command, not only in the positive, but in the negative, and he repeats it then twice, making it underlined in their hearing. In other words, Jesus said loudly enough for his disciples to hear, he rebuked them loudly. He said, suffer, that is, allow the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not. This was in the hearing, probably, of the parents or those who were bringing the children, as well as the disciples. They are not only being rebuked for turning the kids back, but they are being rebuked in the hearing of others. Just as a point of contrast, in all of the other cases where the disciples were going to get additional teaching, or when there was something that needed to be stated, Jesus would often take them aside into a quiet place or into the house or by themselves, and then he would explain things further or he would correct them. But here in the hearing of all, he cries out to them, let the children come to me. Let the children come to me. This is Jesus' command. In our current culture, we would say, of course, why would someone not want the little children to come? We see children and we say they are blessings, and they are. And we see children and say there is potential in them, and that's true. But in those days, as we mentioned a few chapters back, the people of Israel valued adults who were productive and who had wisdom and who knew God and knew the law as being more important. Not more important to their parents, of course, but more important to society. Here, Jesus is saying, doesn't matter if they're the lowliest, the littlest, the least important, the outcasts, as we saw in chapter 6, whether they were the Samaritans, doesn't matter. Jesus wanted them if they were willing to come. And he is quite displeased here with the attitude of the disciples. If you were to cast your eyes back, and in my Bible it's on the same page, but you could cast your eyes back to chapter 9, we have Jesus describing those who are coming to him, and he talks about those who would offend or become stumbling blocks to them. In verse 42, whosoever shall offend one of these little ones that believe in me, it is better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck and he were cast into the sea. In other words, Jesus has, in their hearing, taught the disciples not that long before that they needed to refrain from stopping other people, from coming to Jesus. They needed to make the path smooth to Jesus instead of being a stumbling block. At this point, we could stop and apply this, Christian. Are you a stumbling block? Do you turn others away from God? Are you a hypocrite while at work or with your neighbors in such a way that they are unable to come to Christ because you are, as it were, standing in their way? If a Christian's like that, I don't want to have anything to do with it. We need to be careful not to be a stumbling block. But in particular, you might say, an infant, a baby in the arms, they don't even know what's happening. You can imagine with me, 10, 15 years after this event, some parent saying to their child, there was that day I took you to see Jesus, and he put his hand on your head and he blessed you and he prayed that God would do all kinds of wonderful things for you, and that was so amazing. And the kid's like, yeah, Dad, you told me before. They don't remember it from seeing it. They don't remember from experiencing it, but they remember being told about it. Here, Jesus is not doing something because those children are necessarily going to remember it. He's not doing something because it is an additional blessing that is causing them to come to salvation. I just want to say that in this passage, Jesus is not adding them to the kingdom of God by having them come and put his hands on them. He instead is praying for them and blessing them. And his presence is a blessing to them. We need to be careful not to apply this passage in the wrong ways. So we have Jesus quite displeased with the disciples. He is commanded them, let these children come unto me and don't forbid them. And then he tells us why. He says, for of such is the kingdom of God. Now we can read this in a number of ways, and it has been used by many to teach horrible doctrines. One of the worst is infant baptism, because infants are saved through baptism, or baptism comes after salvation. Now, we'll take a very short reprieve here and just say, when there is one child who is young, who doesn't know the difference between right and wrong, God is good and does not condemn them to eternal fire if they die at that age. That does not mean that they will necessarily, just because someone was born and grew up as a child, does not mean that you will, as an adult, be saved because you were born. Nor is this saying that these kids are Israelites and therefore part of the kingdom of God. That's not what this is saying. It is not saying all kids born to Christians, they're Christians as well. That is not what this verse is saying either. There are two possibilities here. We either have Jesus saying that those who are willing to come to Christ are in no wise cast out, and if you come to him, you receive the kingdom of God. And so the emphasis is not on their age, but rather it is opening the door wide to any who come. Whosoever comes to Jesus is rescued, is saved. Or it could be that here we have the manner of their coming being the important point. And we'll actually find that next week, hint, hint, when we come to the next section, where we have the manner of coming being more, even more important than the fact that someone showed up at Jesus' door. But we have these little children then. They are being encouraged to come, and Jesus is saying, let them come. Let them come now. Jesus loves the little children. He loves the little children. Why does he love them? I want us to note that it has to do with their reception. In verse 15, he says, truly I say unto you, whosoever shall not receive the kingdom of God as a little child, he shall not enter therein. There is a way to enter into the kingdom of God, and it is to receive Jesus like a little child. What does it mean to receive Jesus as a little child? Well, here we have to speculate a little bit. And again, next week we'll find some of the answers actually given to us in how someone else came and was accepted or rejected. But here we find we need to receive the kingdom of God, the King, as the little child. Little children do not come up to you and ask you to pick them up if they're scared of you. They do not come up to you and think that they have to pay you before you'll pick them up. They do not come to you and ask to be picked up thinking you can't do it. I have to admit, little Thomas is very heavy. And I do pick him up into the air, and so he's been doing the hanging off my one arm thing that I do with my kids, and they like it. They think it's great fun. But when they get to a certain weight, it gets to be really painful. Sophia is past that point. I can't lift her up anymore. I can't lift her in the air by one arm because she's too big. But do you know what? That doesn't stop them all from coming to me and saying, pick me up, pick me up, pick me up. Why? Because they think you can do it. What are some of the things that keep adults from coming to Jesus? Well, often we think we need to pay Jesus a little bit of something. You know, I got to do this or this, or I've got to get all my ducks in a row, or I've got to give some money, and then Jesus will receive me. He will accept me. Or we come to Jesus and we say, I'm not sure. You don't look really strong enough to lift me up. Or we come to Jesus and we say, I'm not sure if you really want to help me. I don't know if you actually want to give me a cup of water or to carry me in your arms. We look to Jesus and we say, well, maybe Jesus can do what I need. We don't come to him trusting him. We come with reservations. And so coming as a little child means leaving our reservations behind. We come to Jesus saying, Jesus said, come, I've come. That's it. I trust him. It's a simple faith. I want us now to see the conclusion in verse 16. It says, and he took them up in his arms, put his hands upon them, and blessed them. He took them up in his arms. Now, they were being brought so that Jesus could just touch them. Still close relationship, but not nearly as close as Jesus picking them up in his arms. Again, this is another indication that this includes very little children, not just 12-year-olds, but all the way down. Because 12-year-olds are pretty big to take up in your arms. Yeah, a bit heavy. So I'm not saying Jesus couldn't do it. I'm just saying that it's more likely he's talking about littler children. He took them up in his arms. He gave them a cuddle. He treated them warmly and with love. I don't know about you, sometimes as we look at the interactions of Jesus with the Pharisees or with his disciples, we get a perspective of Jesus where he is very much, the truth is important and here's the only thing that's important and do things my way, and we get a manly man who's up there preaching, and all of those things are true. But we forget that He is God, and God loves people. God loves people. He made us. He knows what we're made of, and He loves us. This is who God is. And so when Jesus takes up these little children, it's not just Jesus doing something unique. It is Jesus showing a heart of compassion towards these little ones. He holds them close. They are precious to Him. This gives us then a perspective of the heart of Jesus. He sees other people and He wants to enfold them in His arms. Both the little children, the babies, all the way up to the adults. He wants to enfold them closely, to hold them tight and to say, "I'm so glad you came." Why then should we stand off so much? I'm so glad at this church we have a number of families with young children, and it is nice before or after services, how many of those of you with gray hairs, and I'm starting to get there, but those of you with gray hairs who come and you talk to the little ones and you pat them on the head or you say hello, give them a cuddle or anything like that. It's a blessing. But this is the same heart that Jesus had. He wanted to welcome anyone who would come to Him, and He was willing to do so in as warm a manner as they would allow. Jesus took them up in His arms. And then while they were there in His arms, He put His hands upon their heads. That's a detail from Luke, but I'm going to put it here because it says He put His hands upon them. And you assume if you picked up someone and put them in your arms that you touched them with your hands. So why would you mention it twice? Well, because then He did the formal putting a hand on them and praying for them. This was a common practice at that time. And still today, Jewish rabbis and those who are in charge of their little schools will pray for the children. They will put their hand on their head and then pray to God, "God, bless this child." And they bless them for their physical health, for their mental strength and growth. God bless them that they would become wise. And all of these blessings that they would pray out were to encourage and strengthen those children, because who can help those children the most? It's not the parents. They've got a lot to do, but they're not the most important. It's not the community at large. It is God. If God blesses, then even the most adverse situation can be turned into a blessing. God is needed, and so the prayer of blessing is prayed. Jesus had taken them up, He had put His hands upon them, and He had blessed them. He prayed to God that they would receive all the blessings promised to Israel: health, land, prosperity, growth, strength, families. All of these things He prayed for them, because Jesus cared for these children. I want us then to ask, was it these handful of children that He loved above all others in Israel? And why do we not have other instances of this mentioned for us? Just this one particular one. How come the disciples didn't realize that's all that was going to happen? Why didn't they realize the importance of it? Jesus came to seek and to save that which was lost. He came to this earth and He died for those who were sinners. These children, most of them would have been below the age of knowing right from wrong. Might not have been all of them, but at least some of them. They were not in danger of hellfire at that moment, and so he was not out seeking for them. Jesus went to find the Samaritan woman, and he traveled much from village to village to village to see groups of people, including children. But here he is singling out these children because they are his. They are his. Not because they are the only Israelite children saved out of the whole time of his ministry, but because they were brought to him. Because they were led along the way, some of them carried to him. They trusted in him before they even knew good and bad. They rested in his arms. They expected his care and enjoyed his blessing even before they were able to form the sentence, maybe, that Jesus loves me. This is the goodness of God that we see. This is the goodness of God. We have the opportunity at this church to not only bring adults, but also children to our Savior. And so I would really like to challenge you this morning. Have you come to Jesus? If so, have you left behind all of the things that would hold you back from jumping into his arms like a little child? Did you actually trust him? Or did you come and say, I don't really think you could do anything, but in just as a off chance that perhaps, maybe, I'll get out of hell, Jesus save me, you know? Say the phrase quick. Did you come to him trusting him? If you haven't, then I would ask you to speak with me afterwards. But for the rest of us, bring everyone, young children included, to our Savior. Bring them. It doesn't say drag. Notice, it doesn't say drag them by their collar along with you. But it says bring them. This implies that they were willingly with their parents being brought to Jesus. It wasn't the kid having a tantrum in the supermarket. No, I don't want to go with you, mom or dad. That's not what we have here. We have the child willingly being brought. We can bring others to Jesus. How do we bring children to him? Is it us bringing them physically to his presence? No. We bring them to understand that Jesus is trustworthy. We bring them to understand that his sacrifice is sufficient. And most importantly, we bring them to understand that Jesus wants to enfold them in his arms, that he actually loves them. That he loves them in truth. He loves them perfectly. Not like the world loves things, but as God loves. A love that is not mixed with sin, but is only for the best for the children. That's what Jesus wants. Jesus says, "Allow the little children to come unto me, and don't forbid them, for of such is the kingdom of God." When they are being brought, we need to rejoice that they are coming. We need to encourage them. Pave the street with gold, if that's what's needed, to make it smooth for them to come. We need to make it easy for children to come to Jesus. This includes teaching them, as I've already mentioned, and this also includes doing the physical things to help them. Maybe we can invite our neighbor's children. I was talking with a dear brother who was describing his neighbors and how the kids were sometimes annoying. They would throw the ball over the fence and then just stand there yelling until they could get it back. You know, that kind of thing. Sometimes children can be annoying. Here Jesus is not saying children can't be annoying, but oh, what a blessing when you encourage your neighbors, children, to come to outreaches that the church has, to come hear about Jesus in youth group, or Sunday school, or morning service, to encourage them to sit down and listen as Jesus is proclaimed. We should bring the children. We need to bring them any way that we can, but we need to bring them willingly. This means that we have to tell them why they are being brought. I don't know if you've tried to bring children into the car to get them to go someplace, but it's a whole lot easier when it's a place they want to go. Otherwise, they dilly-dally. They procrastinate. They take their time and trip one another up. They won't find their shoes and get them ready. They won't be prepared ahead of time, and every step becomes a struggle or a challenge to get them in the car. And then when you get there, if they're not excited, they won't hop out of the car. It will be a get out. Come on, drag them out. If you are going to bring them willingly, they need to have explained to them how good Jesus is. They need to know what it is that Jesus can do for them. And they need to trust Him because He is good and loving. These are all things that each one of us can do. And these are the same ways that we bring adults. You don't bring an adult to a morning service by grabbing their collar and dragging them. You don't. But you can explain to them about how good Jesus is. And you can explain to them what happens at a morning service and say, we sing songs, pray to God, and learn from His Word. And it's a precious time of fellowship around God's Word that we enjoy on Sunday morning. Don't you want to be a part of that? And we try and excite them with the reality of what could happen. And then we show them Jesus. Maybe all you can explain to them is that Jesus cares for those who are sick and sorrowing. Do you know, explaining that will be an encouragement to many people in this world. How many of you know someone who is sick or sorrowing? And if they're not sick and sorrowing today, maybe they were yesterday, or they will be tomorrow. All of us encounter sickness and sorrow, and to hear that Jesus Christ cares and that He can help, that's a great draw. That's a way to bring people to know Him. It's to remove the stumbling block of you don't really want to come. Oh, no, you shouldn't come. But rather to pave the way, to bring them along to hear Jesus, to meet Him. They cannot receive the kingdom of God and receive Christ unless they come to Him, trusting and expecting Him to do that which is impossible for them. Jesus wants to take the children and all of us up in His arms. He wants to put His hands upon us and bless us. Have we come to Him? Or are we like the disciples who are stumbling blocks, rebuking this one and that one, and keeping them from Jesus by our attitudes, by our speech, by our actions? Jesus is interested in the salvation of all, including little children. We dealt with the problem of briefly, the problem of infant baptism and those who think that little children should be baptized, and how this is one of the two or three verses that people point at, verse 14 and 15, to prove their point. And I just want to underscore this. This passage says nothing about baptism. Nor does it say that these children did not have to accept Jesus as their personal Savior later in their life. But we do know that they came to Him. And what a privilege. So, let us go out in strength this week and let us bring the young children to Him. Let us not be a stumbling block. And let us have the same heart as Jesus, who cared about the children so much, loved them so much that He took them in His arms. That's the kind of God that we serve. He comforted them. He loved them. He showed affection towards them as He blessed them. Let's close with a word of prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we thank You that You are truly a God who loves each and every one. We thank You that You love the little children as well as the grown adults. Father, we do ask that You would give us hearts like little children, which trust completely, implicitly, and without any reservations. Father, we ask that You would bring many into Your kingdom and help us to be the ones who are paving the way, not being stumbling blocks. Father, we ask that You would work this message into our hearts. In Jesus' name, amen.